In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. After calling the disciples to follow him, pick up their own crosses, and walk with him on this journey to death and suffering but resurrection, Jesus had told his disciples that they must become like children if they were to enter God's kingdom. That they must be willing to radically forgive and let go in the way that God had forgiven them. As they continue on their journey, some Pharisees run up to Jesus in order to test him. And they ask him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus responds, "Haven't you read in Genesis where it says that God made them male and female, and he called them, the son, to leave his family and to be united with his wife, that they would become one flesh? And if they are one flesh, and if God has brought them together, let men not separate this." But the Pharisees respond, "But Moses said we could divorce our wives if we had a cause." Jesus responded, "Moses gave you this command because you are hard-hearted. It is not the true intention of what God desired. Divorce is not some simple thing that you can use for your selfish agendas. You are hurting people, tearing apart what God has brought together when you do it." Hearing this, the disciples respond to Jesus, "If this is the case, it's better not to get married at all." Jesus responded, "Well, if you can accept that fate, then do so. It is good when people give up marriage for the sake of devoting themselves to God's kingdom. But this is not for all. But if you can accept this, then do so." As they continued on their journey, a rich young man ran up to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, what must I do to participate and to enter God's kingdom and God's reality?" Jesus says to him, "If you want life, then follow God's commands." "Well, which commands are these?" Jesus responds, "Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbors as much as you love yourself." The young man responds boldly, "Lord, I have kept all of these. What else do I lack?" Jesus responds, "If you want wholeness, if you want to be complete in God, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor who are in need this day. Then drop everything and attach yourself to me. Follow me wherever I go." Hearing this, the young man becomes greatly grieved and sad. And he walks away from Jesus because he is deeply attached to his property and possessions. Jesus then says to his disciples gathered there, "How difficult is it for someone who has great wealth to enter God's kingdom? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter God's kingdom." Disciples respond, "Well, then who could possibly be saved? Who could possibly give up their great wealth?" "Yes," Jesus responds, "with men this is certainly impossible, but where God is at work, all things are possible." Peter then says to Jesus, "Well, Lord, we left everything behind. We've done this. We've attached ourselves to you." Jesus says, "Yes, Peter. All those who have left behind their homes, their fields, their lands, their families, to journey and walk with me will actually have 100 times more than they had before in this life. And then in the age to come, they will experience God's eternal life. The first in the world will be the last, but those who are last will be first. Listen to this story. There was an employer who was going out to hire some workers who were standing at the sort of temp agency along the road. And he went up there and he got some workers for his field and he sent them to work. Then around lunchtime, he went back to this place and he realized there were workers who had still been standing there who hadn't been hired. So he hired a few more of them and he said, "I'll pay you fairly. Go into the fields and work for me." Then coming along mid-afternoon, he comes back and there's still men who have just been standing there. No one has chosen them or asked them to work. And the master says, "I'll put you to work. Go to my fields. I'll compensate you. Go work." The last hour before sunset, the employer goes back out there again. He sees there are still forgotten workers. No one has wanted them. No one has chosen them to work for them. And he says, "All you guys, go over to my fields. I will compensate you fairly." The hour passes, and he convenes with all of his workers, some who've been working all day, some who've been working half the day, some who've been working just barely 1 hour. And the master pulls forward first the ones that he had hired for just 1 hour of work. And he gives them a full day's pay. Excited, they go off. Those who've been working all day start thinking, "Ooh, if they got a full day pay, just think how much we're going to get." But as the master continues to pay the workers, he gives every set of worker the full day's pay. Frustrated, thinking this is greatly unfair, that they want justice, those who have been working all day start complaining. "We've been here all day, slaving for you, working for you, and we got just as much as those who were only here 1 hour." The employer responds, "Did you not agree that I would give you a full day's pay for working for me? Why are you so upset? What is this sense of fairness that you have? Are you upset at my generosity for those who were passed over and left out of work?" "Like this," Jesus told them, "the first will be last, the last will be first when God's kingdom comes." Then as they continued their journey, James and John Zebedee, their mother, comes up to Jesus with the two boys coming with her, and she falls before Jesus and she says, "Lord, please do me a favor." Jesus says to her, "What do you want? What is it that you desire?" She says, "Give my boys power. Let them be your right hand and your left hand men when you arrive in the greatness of your kingdom." Jesus says to this mother, "You have no idea what you are asking of me. Do you really think that your boys can drink the cup that I have to drink to undergo the baptism that my life is going to undergo?" And the boys pipe in, "Oh yes, yes we can. Just give us the power." Jesus says, "Yes, you will drink the cup I have to drink. But sitting at my right and my left, that is not for me to choose. God has already chosen that." When Jesus would come into his glory, fast forwarding to Good Friday, there were two men who were crucified on his right and his left. That's what it meant to be part of Jesus' kingdom. The other 10 disciples, hearing that James and John were jockeying for the most power in God's kingdom, are frustrated and angry at these two brothers. So Jesus brings the whole group together and he says, "Look, The nations of the world, you know how they operate. They're always jockeying for more power. Their lords and their rulers are always exercising authority over others. It's all about games of power. This must never be the case among you. If you want and desire true greatness in God's kingdom, then you will empty yourself. You will become a servant of all. If you really want and desire to be first in what God cares about, then you will become a slave of all. For I did not come here to be served. I came to serve. You should do likewise. So as they were continuing their journey on to Jerusalem, two blind men sitting along the side of the road start hearing the commotion. These two blind men hear that Jesus is coming. They start screaming, "Show us mercy! Give us compassion! Son of David, help us!" Crowds are saying, "Shut up! Be quiet!" But they will not back down. "Son of David, have mercy, compassion on us!" So Jesus stops his journey. He calls for the two men. He asks them, "What is it that you want? What is it that you desire?" The two blind men say, "We just want to see. Open our eyes." And Jesus says, "Your eyes are now opened. Be healed." And their eyes are opened, and they drop everything and start following Jesus into Jerusalem towards the cross. What do you want? What is it that you desire? The rich man came to Jesus in our text, telling Jesus that he wanted life with God. And then Jesus told him what that entailed. Jesus told him what it meant to desire wholeness with God. And then this young man realizes that's not really what he wants. He wants to hold on to his wealth. He can't imagine letting go of the security of the wealth he's accumulated. And so he chooses to walk away from life with God because he really desires his wealth and the security he thinks it can give. And those workers working for the employer, they said they wanted some sort of justice, fairness. But as the employer identified and revealed for them, it wasn't really fairness they were looking for. They just wanted more than the other guy. And the employer said, "Fairness is my great generosity for all the workers, from the least to the greatest." But they didn't want real justice or fairness. They just wanted more than the other guys. Or James and John and their mother, they come to Jesus saying they want to be great in God's kingdom. But what is it that they really desire? Greatness in the ways of the world. They don't really want a cross next to Jesus. They don't really want to be servants, slaves of all. They want what's good, what will exalt themselves. And the blind men, the two blind men, they ask the same question by Jesus. What is it that you want? What is it that you desire? These men, they don't want wealth. They don't want some sort of justice that means more than the next guy. They don't want the power of the rulers of the world. Given a blank check by Jesus, these men say, Lord, we just want to see. We just want to see the world with God's eyes. And Jesus said, now this I can give. And their eyes were opened to how things truly are in the world from God's perspective. It's all about hearts. We saw with the opening episode about divorce, about in the hearts of the people. The people had hard hearts, resistant to what God was doing in the world. Jesus was coming into the world to change their hearts, to transform them, to soften their hearts, to change the desires, the wants of their hearts. Because their desires, their wants were all askew. They wanted a marriage relationship in a way that was convenient. And if it wasn't convenient, then shoot, I don't want it at all. They wanted the wealth of the world, the security that money claims to offer. They didn't really want to care for their neighbors who were in need today. They wanted justice that benefited them, not justice that was truly fair for both the lowliest and the greatest. They wanted the power of the nations, the glory of the nations, not true glory of being a servant, humble, like a child. As Jesus called his disciples in that fateful turn of events, if you want to follow me, you have to say no to yourself. Jesus knew the problem was in the hearts of the people. That their desires, their wants, were all self-centered. They could dress them up as being good desires of, oh, Jesus, I need this wealth for good reasons. I need this power for good reasons. We need this justice, this fairness for good reasons. But at the heart, as Jesus exposes it, you're really just self-centered. You're really just selfishly looking out for yourself. What is it that you want this day? What is it that you desire as you go about living your life? Spending your time, your energy, resources. How you spend your time, how you spend your energy, how you spend your resources. What does it tell you about the true desires, the wants of your heart? Do you really want love of neighbor? Or maybe you're just looking out for yourself. Do you really want justice and fairness, or really you just want what's going to benefit you? Do you really want greatness in God's eyes, or do you just want the greatness where people of the world will applaud you and praise you? What is it that you are really seeking, desiring, and wanting? Ask yourself that question. If Jesus were standing before you this day, asking you, what is it that you want? Would you ask for wealth? Justice that benefits you? Power? Or maybe there's something to learn from those two blind beggars. Jesus, I just want to see. I just want to see the world the way you see it. I just want my heart to be open to your kingdom reality. Is that what we desire from God? Let's chase that. Let's pursue that. Let's seek and want and desire God's way. God's will. God's way of seeing things. It may disrupt everything comfortable in our lives. It may challenge the foundations of wealth and power and justice as we think of them. But God's way is truly the way of love, the way of true generosity, the way of sacrifice, the way of giving, the way of humility, the way of being servants. May we desire that. May that be what we want this day. Amen.